things that God, 11, 12 years ago, God gave a vision that was way too big for this church or any church. And I've in some ways I've questioned Brother James. Lord, did I miss this? This is a big vision for little people, but you know what? God is able. He's able to provide for Brother James. He's able to provide for us. I want you all to say hello to him before you leave today. If you want to bless him, bless him. The church may do a little something. Yes, sir. Amen. There you go. Amen. Amen, brother. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. God does send people the right time to say the right thing and to encourage you. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 1. Glory. Hi, you guys. How you doing? Genesis 1 and 1. We've decided, it seems how we're launching our children's church. We're going to launch on the same note. We're going to keep things going. So whatever I'm preaching from the pulpit, the kids in the back are going to get a very similar thing. So when you go home, hint, 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 when you go home, ask your children what they learned in children's church, and y'all can have an intelligent conversation over the McDonald's, and because you got the same thing, okay? God did it all just for me. Hallelujah. I know that we're going on the internet now. I got to have titles for everything, and that's the title for this one. God did it all. He did it just for you. Did it just for me. Hallelujah. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, when I talk to people, people are looking for something that doesn't change, something that doesn't move. Of all the things I've found, I've been blessed enough to serve the Lord for 30 years as of this year. And there's one constant I have had in 30 years, Brother Dave. We've had several presidents. We've had all kinds of things change in our nation. We've been through a couple of different wars or something that looked like wars. We've had all kinds of change, but there's one thing that has not changed in 30 years, and it comes right there. In the beginning, God. I'm going to stop right there. I know there's no period. But in 30 years, the one thing that's never changed in my life is God still is. He was long before I was born. He is right now, and when I'm long gone, he still is. God has never changed. People have tried to change him. People have tried to define him wrongly and differently. But in 30 years of my life, God has never changed. If you're looking for something, I know we're all looking for something. The brother mentioned that before. If we're looking for something to believe in, something to hang on to, something that's never going to let you down, may I suggest today that you can look to God. Amen? You say, which God? But there's only one. He's the book of Genesis. In the beginning, he was busy doing something, brother. You see, I happen to believe every word of God, every word that comes from the Bible. There's over 750,000 of them I can choose from. And that's the problem. Sometimes we pick and choose. Y'all know how that goes. Oh, yeah. Here we go. We got a whole bunch of words here. I like this Bible, yeah. Oh, I will heal you. I like that. Be holy. No, not that one. No. I will bless your family. I like that one. Give your tithe. No. See, we want to pick and choose, but you got to take the whole counsel. Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning, God. And in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, before he did what he did in Genesis chapter 1, you were on his mind. Before the foundation of the world was laid, God had a plan for you. Before you were born, before your mom and daddy's, before your great-granddaddy, before anyone was born and or created, because we're going to go all the way back to Adam with this thing, God had you in mind, Brother Dave. God knew how many children you'd have. You might have been surprised. He wasn't. I like picking on people with big families. My wife and I have one, too. If you had told me in my younger days I'd have 7 children, I'd fight you. I told a new client the other day, we're waiting on our 16th grandchild. Oh, that's wonderful. You look too young. I said, say it again. I'll tell you when to stop. Hallelujah. Before God did this is an amplified version, before he prepared, formed, and fashioned. I want to talk about prepare as we go along. God was doing something for somebody who had not been born yet. When God decided to prepare, form, and fashion, and create the heavens and earth, you were on his mind. God knew every single one. I appreciate Brother James's testimony. God knows what Brother James needs before Brother James knows. And he's got it prepared through a person, through a supernatural intervention. It's already prepared. Now, if God can take care of a man who's willing to give up what he gave up and walk the countryside, prepare for him day by day, can he provide for you in your situation? The obvious answer is, of course he can. Before there was a Middle East, before there was oil-burning cars, before there was heating oil needs, God knew exactly what was needed and put it under the ground. I think it's kind of cool where he put it. You think he put it under my property, but he didn't. I wouldn't have minded. Amen. Glory to God. But before anything, he knew. Now, when we read the book of Genesis, okay, the word Genesis, I think you know, means beginnings. The very word means beginnings, actually beginnings of life. But there's another beginning I want to look at here. But I want to clear up right quick. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is not the beginning of God. Okay? God is eternal. Always was, always will be. I don't care who's in the White House in November. Well, I do, but I don't have any control over it. But whoever ends up taking the oath of office in January, doesn't really matter. God is still in control. You got something you want to say, James? There he is. There it is. But God has always existed. God always was, always will be. Amen. You cannot find a birth record anywheres in any of the courts, any of the county offices, signed God was born on such and such a day. It ain't there. If you want to try, go ahead. But I'm telling you, you will not find. God has always been. And I also want to say Genesis 1:1 is not just the beginning of our world. Now, I'm not going to preach aliens here. I'm not going to preach. I ain't going to get into that. There's men smarter than me who try. I ain't going to try it. Okay? What it really is, I should be clicking this thing instead of just holding it in my hand. If you are filling it out. Genesis, the book of beginnings, question number 2 on your sheets is, what this thing really is, it's the beginning of a God's working with humans. People try to talk about a pre-creation theory. I don't know. I'm not that smart. I can't wrap my mind around Genesis 1:1. I can't even begin to think what it might have been before that. I had one silly man try to tell me the devil tried to create and God had come straight now. I said, boy, you are troubled. You are foolish. Hallelujah. What we have here in Genesis, God makes preparation, begins to work with humankind. Can someone say amen? Anybody here a human? I only see a couple of hands. I think we all stop right now. I rebuke that spirit of alienism right now in Jesus' name. Come out of them. Be human in Jesus. No, I'm sorry. I'll tell you, if something starts cricking and screaming out of you, I'd be worried right about it there. The meaning of the Greek word from we get actually is a Greek word where we actually draw back to Hebrew in Genesis actually has the implications of a partnership between the divine and the creation. You see, when we read a book of Genesis, people want to teach this in school and teach that in school. You know, I really don't care what they teach in school. I'd like to see them teach creationism in school myself. But you know what? I know, and ain't no teacher got to convince me one way or another. I know that I did not come down out of a tree. I know that my daddy and my granddaddy, they're not monkeys. I did not evolve. This here is the historical record of the beginning of God interworking with humankind. Of course, he had to create us first. You know, if you're called to be an apologist, help yourself. I find it fun at times, boring most of the time, to try to take people and convince them that God exists. When people want me to convince them God exists, I open up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and I read the following. In the beginning, God. That's all the apologetics I need. But now, some people are called to equip themselves and to educate themselves. One of the smartest men I've ever had the chance to read his works of was Thomas Aquinas, one of the most intelligent men you could ever come across. And through his intellect, he found God. I had a man come to me. You may have heard the story. I used to work in an institution for the homeless. Had a man come to me one day, and he's all dressed in fine clothes. He was supposed to be a bum off the Bowery of New York City. He dressed better than I was. It shows you how much they were paying me. But they, but the man came to me, and this guy literally, he literally had more degrees than a thermometer. He had 3 or 4 master's degrees, a couple of doctorate degrees, and you got to understand. Yeah, God has a way of doing things, like Dr. James was saying. You know, there were about 1,200, can't call them inmates, I forget, clients I think we called them, guests of the city in our institution. There was probably on that given day 70 to 100 staff members. I walk in at 8 o'clock in the morning. He puts that man in front of my desk at that second. Tell me that was an accident. But we started talking. You have to understand, I was a very young Christian, and you know, young Christians, they need the gift of shut up. I had not yet received that gift. So I couldn't shut up, and as the great black preacher used to say, I can't help it. Had a case of can't help it. But the man started talking to me all his philosophy, and I'm not an apologist. He'd tell me about all he's done and all he's accomplished, and I'd give him a scripture. Had no idea where that scripture was coming from. I felt it coming through my mind. I give it to him. He'd look at me, shake his head, and walk away. This went on for a week, 2 weeks. Finally, he walks in one morning, sits down in the chair, and says, "That's it. I give up." "You give up?" "I want to be what you are." Well, here was his rationale. He said, "Every bit of philosophy I know, every bit of knowledge I've used, won't sway you from what you believe. And everything you say to me, I go back, makes total sense to me." I said, "Well, all I'm doing is quoting Bible." So that's what I mean. The man became a Christian. Of course, the first thing he wanted to go to school and become a theologian. I said, "Well, you know, that's he was a professional student. That's what he did." Hallelujah. The book of Genesis is the very beginning of the work that God has called us to, and the work that He wants us to cooperate with Him. You know, I use that word a lot here. God wants us to cooperate with Him. God don't need us. God can do anything He wants with a snap of a finger. He has fingers. But He chooses to use human beings. He chooses to use the young, the old, the in-between. God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter. Who would have thought that God would pick the guy in Las Vegas, of all places? I think it's hard to get a call in Las Vegas. I could be wrong. I mean, there's a lot going on in Las Vegas, Nevada. Amen. A lot more than what you see on CSI, I'll tell you right now. I'm not knocking the program. I watch it sometimes myself. But God chooses to use people like James and myself and Sharon and the Roberts and the Granger. God chooses to use us. And you know what, Tori? God chooses to use people of your age group, too. There's no saying, "Well, I got to graduate this," or "He just graduated high school. Congratulations." Well, you know, God don't have to wait for you to graduate high school to use you. He uses you right along. My granddaughter that just turned 18. God can use her at that age. It doesn't matter how old she is. Can someone say amen? God really don't. Ike, guess what? God will use you too, Bubba. God will use us no matter those young children in the back room. God will use them. Annie, God will use you. God uses who He wishes to because He wishes to. God doesn't want to do it all Himself. God wants to use you guys. God wants to use that sound man back there. You know what? Dave's got a lot of talents, some he doesn't even know yet. God wants to use those talents. He wants to develop them and use them. I take it a step further. That's His little baby there crawling on the floor. God wants to use that little baby. God don't care nothing about age. Hallelujah.
Some of the older people say, "How come you just talk to all the kids and not us?"
Okay, for the more mature, God wants to use you too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the beginning, Elohim. If you ever do a study of God's names in the Hebrew, it's really a cool study. I wrote this down here. I want you to remember the word Elohim. Because in the beginning, there was Elohim. Elohim is one of the Greek words for God. And I find it interesting. If you're not a student, you maybe not care less about this. But there are those who would argue with you about the Trinity. So for those who want to argue, let me say that the word Elohim is plural. And y'all got to think about it. I'm not talking about more than one God, but the word Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim is a plural word. More than one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Jesus was there while this was happening. The Holy Ghost was carrying it out. You read further in Genesis, it says that the Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters. What do you think he was doing? Was not water skiing. Jet skiing.
Here comes the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. He was taking the stuff in this world that was without form and void and turning it into what God wanted it to be. The job of the Holy Ghost in 2008 is to take people who are without form and void with their lives all messed up and change them into what God wants them to be. Hallelujah. The God's job hasn't changed. Jesus' job hasn't changed. And the Holy Ghost's job has not changed. God, Jesus is still going out and doing what God asked him to do. Right now, his job is to save us. The Holy Ghost is to change us. God's still on the throne. Elohim, in the very beginning, he was plural. He's plural today. He'll be plural when we're long gone. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. And yet, taking it a step further, the word created is plural. You got to think about this. I hate to throw all this intellect out on a Sunday morning, but y'all need to think about it. The Bible says that a pluralistic God had a single job in order here. When I say created, he had more than one thing going, but it was all in unity. You got to take the word and find out. I'm sorry, I misspoke. This word created is singular. One job, one plan. God's job has never changed. God's plan has never changed. Now, if we can believe Ephesians, anybody here want to believe Ephesians with me? And your destiny was secured in the eyes and heart and mind of God before you were born. And that was the plan in the beginning. Can we all agree the plan hasn't changed? Because there's one plan. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost working in creation are the same three in one working in you right now. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. One God. Three persons. And one plan. God existed in three persons. Yet the action and work of creation, the preparing, the forming, the fashioning of the universe was one unified accomplishment. This just didn't happen by happen chance. I don't want to pop no bubbles, but here's the bottom line. If you believe in a Big Bang Theory, God help you. This did not happen. I love talking with people about the Big Bang Theory. I love engaging and I started to say intelligent, but it's maybe half intelligent conversation. Depending on the two people involved. What's a Big Bang? I said, okay. Let's say for a minute it was a Big Bang. Who caused the bang? Well, we didn't need anybody. It's just all these elements came together. Okay. Where did the elements come from? You see, here's the problem. If you are an atheist or an agnostic, you cannot dare to believe that there's a creation. Because if you do, you have to believe there's a creator. And that you just can't accept the alternative. If there's a God that created, there's a God who makes it holy. If there's a God who makes it holy, that means there's a God who can tell us to be holy. There's a God that can make some demands and requirements of us, and that don't fly in some people's lives. Hallelujah. I think one I like the best is the hot gas theory. There's nothing but hot gas there. But anyway, we have one God. I got to clean this up before we get on the internet. I'm telling you right now. One God, three persons, one plan. Turn to your neighbor and tell him there's only one plan. Just go turn yourself. There's only one plan. I don't want to be a legalist here, but I got to tell you right now, I struggle with people talking about the permissive will of God. Now, I know that we get by with a lot. I understand there's a lot of grace and mercy. But to tell me that there's an alternate plan, if this doesn't work, we can have another plan. No. Tell you something I share with people. I shared it here a couple of weeks ago. There are people in our lives who are ordained, if you will, to teach us things. I tell students this all the time. So that man or that woman up there has the responsibility to teach you. You have the responsibility to learn it. See, so many times we do it with children, we do it with adults. Well, we try something. If it doesn't work, we try something else. No, no, no. If it was right the first time, you don't try nothing else. God was right the first time. You don't have to have an alternate plan. God's plan was right in the beginning. It's right today. And if it goes on a few more thousand years, it'll still be right. glory unto God. Genesis chapter 1, all the way through 2, 3, is a description of a whole host of things that God created. God loves diversity. It's right. Look around. Just take a just look around this congregation. We are different. I remember Brother Jim Cross telling me one time, he's a preacher friend of ours, you know, God just made so many perfect heads, so the rest he put hair on. I'm beginning to recognize that and resemble that remark. But God loves diversity, male, female, black, white. God loves diversity. Tall, short, fat, well, that's my fault. God loves diversity. He didn't make it all the same. What a boring world if all of the animal kind looked the same. You only had one kind of tree, only one kind of flowers. This would be an ugly world. It would be a boring world. God's not boring. James. The focus here in this whole creation story is not so much on creation. It's on the Creator. It's on the one who did all this. You know, I got to tell you, when I sometimes get sad when I think about science or the scientific community, to have to break everything down to some kind of logic of some sort, you know. I can look at a tree and just like the tree. I can look at a flower and just love the flower. I really don't care. I know where it came from. Maybe that's why I don't care. I know that God made that flower, and he made it that certain color of blue. I happen to like blue. Or he made it a certain color, whatever, that you happen to like, just because he likes you. You see, I keep telling you this. Ephesians says that you were in God's mind before he made the tree. Before he put that tree. I don't know what happened in Arizona and Utah and Nevada. Trees got forgotten. I was once told that when God got done with creation, all the rocks he had left are he put in Pennsylvania. If you ever tried to dig a hole in your backyard, you'll probably find that's true. But whatever it is, God created that stuff for us. I remember riding up the highway a couple years ago, Paul Costa was in the car coming back from the airport. And he kind of joking, he said, "What's that?" I said, "What?" I said, that hump, that... Is that the mountains? Man, I don't see them in Texas. Now, I know he's been around the world a few times. He's seen a mountain, but he could enjoy the beauty of that mountain. He didn't ask me how it was formed.
Did the earth buckle around here and cause that?
I don't know. I wasn't here. I'm old, not that old. It happened before 60 years ago, Brother Roberts. I know, I understand. One of my clients looked at me, they looked at me and said, "Mr. George, how old are you?"
First there was water, then there was dirt, then there was me.
They believe that. So, glory unto God. The focus here is on God. Nine times in this verse, or this chapter, we can read the words God said. And then there comes some variation of, "It was so." I'm not really a Trekkie, but there's certain things I liked from Star Trek. And I always liked Jean-Luc Picard. Whenever he would give an order, he'd say, "Make it so." I liked that. I think God just kind of says, "Holy Ghost, separate the waters from the land. Let it be so." And it was. God simply spoke it. God spoke our universe, our planet, and humankind into existence. God spoke all of life into existence. And then he took a handful of red clay. Read it for yourselves. Red clay. Look it up in the Hebrew. And he began to... Michelangelo was great. Have you ever seen the Pietà? Have you ever seen any of his work? They're wonderful. But until you've seen and looked seriously at the handiwork of God, he sculptured out of red clay something that looked just like his son. No one had seen the son yet. Hallelujah. But God knew. And he formed it, and it wasn't done with him, brother. I don't know if he put hair on his head or not. You and I don't have to worry about that just yet. Mind you, I said, "Yeah." But he said when he got all done, he breathed down. Now, I kind of like to think of this thing in terms of human people and the way we reach down and love our children. You kind of reach down. Let me get all sloppy for a minute here. You kind of reach down, kind of brush your cheek up against the baby's cheek. I kind of see God doing the same thing. While I was there, he went, and the Spirit of God entered in that red clay and up popped at him. Hallelujah. I got to tell you something. Anybody wants to cry to convince me I came from a monkey, they got a big fight on their hands. I'm here because God wanted me here. I'm here because God took the time to mold a piece of red clay, breathe his own spirit into that red clay, and create humankind. That's why I'm here. Hallelujah. There was a time not long ago I wouldn't have to preach a sermon like this because everyone believed the truth. Now, they don't. But here's the thing. When God was done, he said, it was good. First day, separate them. It is good. Second day, let it come forth. It is good. But then when he got all done, that last day, when he got done going, he says, behold, it is very good. You got to understand something. Because of the fall, we are in bad shape. But in the beginning, we were very good. The word used here in Genesis is a very common word when it says good. But here's what it means. As it should be. See, when God got all done, he didn't go, oops, I got to change that. Oops, I should have done this. Oops, I have to modify this. No pilot program. He says, this is as it should be. The animal kingdom, the stars, the waters, the earth, the trees, and most importantly, mankind. This is what I want it to be. God made no mistakes. I remember one time I was not even a believer, and I heard a man say something on TV, and my blood ran cold in my body. I won't mention his name, but he was a famous comedian. They used to get together and raise money on a certain holiday for crippled children. He stood up one day and said, I want you to stand up and send them somebody to help me correct God's mistakes. I didn't know God back then, but he knew me. And to this day, my skin just crawled when I said that. God never made a mistake. God looked at what he had done, and there was no doubt in his mind it was as it should be. Now, I got to talk to you about faith for a second here. I'm going to try to drag this out, but I got to say some things. I hear a lot about faith. I've spent 30 years in this gospel, or some form of it. I've heard a lot of gospels. There's only one. But I've heard a lot about faith, and let me just say something about faith. I know without it you cannot please God. I understand that. Faith must be placed in something or somebody. Faith does not stand alone, folks.
Oh, I have faith.
So what? What do you have faith in? We need to have a faith that looks and says, you know what? God was right in the beginning. It's right now, and my life is what it should be. Now, if sin has gotten in the way, we can deal with that. That's why God sent Jesus. Jesus was not an afterthought. Before he created, I heard a song one time, so before he created the hill that the tree grew on, we were on his mind. You see, long before Jesus hung on the cross, God knew what we would do. Long before he made man, long before the fall, long before, he knew what would happen, and Jesus was part of this picture. There was no surprise. Oh, Jesus, by the way, I forgot to tell you. You have to go to Calvary. It was this way from the beginning. Now, here's my point. If there's no doubt in the mind of God, there should be no doubt in ours either. God knows what he's doing. If I can leave you with nothing else today, and I'm not quite done, but if I can leave you with nothing else, I want you to understand something. God knows what he's doing. You may not get it. You may not see it. I will guarantee you, when it's all over with, you're going to look at it and you'll hear God say, this is very good. You may be going through the process right now. You may be being changed right now. Your whole way of thinking and being may be challenged. But when it's done, you'll be just what you should be. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. God knows. He did the right thing in the beginning. He's doing the right thing now. And it'll be right when he's finished. Whatever your situation is, if God is in control, can I say again, if God is in control, is as it should be. Now, if he's not, now's a good time to stop, give it over to him, and then it will become good. Because all that God does is good. The Apostle Paul, centuries after Genesis 1:1 was written, the Apostle Paul wrote to some folks in Rome, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. And he wrote and he reminded them, he says, we know. See, here's the thing. I don't mean to stop preaching. Can't help it. Certain things, we look at the scripture, and it's not I perceive or maybe. Paul says, we know. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. If God has got his hands on your life and you are working with God, I will guarantee you whatever you're going through will turn out to be good. It'll turn out. Now, when I say good, I want to redefine it as it should be. May not feel good. May not look good. May mess with your emotions. May mess with your finances. May mess with your body. But I'll guarantee you when God's all done with it, he'll be able to look at that just like he did the rest of creation and say, it is good. It's very good. Hallelujah. God has a plan. We are children of destiny. Every single one of before the foundation of the world was laid, God had a destiny for you, and here it is. God's plan for you is to make it all as it should be, just like in Genesis chapter 1. When he got all done, Brother Charlie, he didn't go, huh, let's try it again. Some people would have you think that. What about the crippled? What about the mental? What about it? God knows what he's doing. I don't. He does. God's plan for you is to make it all, your life, your circumstances, your response to him, as it should be. Hallelujah. God's doing something here in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. This is the exhortation part of it. God was creating a beautiful home, a bountiful place for the most treasured beings that he would create lastly. Please hear me. God did not create man as an afterthought. Gee, what else could I do? I don't know. Got a little time left on my hands. It's not quite Sabbath yet. No. Those first days, God knew that man would need the waters and the ground separated. God knew man would need the trees. I don't know where he slipped the oil in, but it's there someplace.
And behold, only God spoke to Shell Oil and told him where the oil was.
But God knew that we would need the animal kingdom. God knew we'd need all these things. And every day he did this, he did this. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's all good. Kids in the hood think they got that expression. No. God was from the hood. He's a homie. It's good. Yo, dog, is good.
Sorry. Hallelujah.
God knew. Oh, God's got to control me somehow. God knew before he said separate the night from the dark, he knew that we would have to have those things. God bless them people up there in the North Pole. I was watching a movie the other day. 6 months of dark? No, I don't think so. Thank God. Oh, not, I take. I'm sorry. It was South Pole. No wonder there's only penguins down there. Yeah, they send scientists down there. The one would have such a hard time. If God wanted a scientist in the South Pole, he would have put one there when he created everything. He put penguins there. Leave them alone. Anyway, God knew what he was leading up to. I tell you, I ain't gonna get down this. You, us men, we could learn something from. Did you ever see the March of the Penguins? Rent it. Men, watch it before your wife sees it. He knew what was coming and prepared for each and every one of us in the creation. Amen? Take note through Genesis 1 that God created a whole bunch of things, not just one. He didn't create a tree. He created a tree with seed and seed-bearing plants, various kinds. You ever notice he didn't create a star? You have noticed that, right? Yeah, yeah. Has anybody looked up recently? There's a whole bunch of them dudes up there. And they're there because God slung them into existence. For all these people who want to say there's no creation, I got a question for them. How can you have so many hundreds of thousands or millions of things flying up there at speeds that I can't even talk about, and nothing crashes into one another? You can't get that in Honesdale. Speed limit in Honesdale is 25. People hit each other. These things are going 85 million miles an hour. They never crash. Hallelujah. The weird thoughts of a preacher. God created all of mankind in many varieties. You see, what God was doing here, preparing a marvelous earth. But now the problem with that, what I just said, if we don't take it any further, sometimes we want to stop and worship it. I respect the earth, but I'm not going to worship it. God gave us a marvelous earth filled with everything necessary to provide for his crowning creation to enjoy. Need to understand something, folks. God laid it all out, made it all for us, and then made humankind. We're not an afterthought. Everything was setting the stage for his crowning creation. Now, I say that not to try to puff up your head, but to let you know how important you are. We need to understand something. Humankind is important to God. God cares about man. There's a lot of folks out there that think God don't care. So after a while, they begin to rationalize, well, if he doesn't care, he must not be there. So why should I care? I just go out and live, you know. God loves you. God loves you enough to create this beautiful, scenic place we live. Amen? God loves you enough to create that wonderful person you're married to. God loves you enough to give you the procreation abilities to procreate, to create those lovely children of yours. Even the one that mom is struggling with right now. God gave you that wonderful child. That's okay. Let him cry. Mom and I had seven of them. It's cool. Hallelujah. God created humans. You are a vital part of everything good that God made. I want you to think about that. You, every single, whoever you are. Tony, back in the back there. Ronnie, back in the back there. You're a vital part of God's creation. You're here because God spoke, you were created, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. When God finished creating the heavens and the earth in their vast array, the Bible said he rested. I posed this question during the exhortation. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because creation was complete. You know, God gave us a model, if you will. In my day job, we use that word a lot. I tell parents to model for their children. What that means is your child's going to do what you do. Okay? Nice word, modeling. God modeled something for his kids. He worked hard. He created a whole world and mankind in 6 days. But then he rested. He wasn't tired. He didn't have to go swimming. He rested. And that day was meant to be a holy day, a day to reflect on the wonders of what God has done. It's a day to smile and to know it all is as it should be. You know, let me say something here about Sundays. I know in some religions, some places, they don't think Sundays is. I'm not a big person, it's got to be Sunday, but you need a day in seven. Now, if you don't believe me, you can check the studies that haven't been done. They check some folks, brother. This is a long time ago, I remember reading this. And they found out if a person doesn't get a day's rest after seven, their productivity begins to go way down. They can't. I was working in a factory at the time when I read this, and we were working 7 days a week. But you know what? After that sixth day, your ability to think goes down. Your ability to perform goes down. We need. Some people get, some people. Never mind. He just says, oh, you get dopey. I said, well, some people get that way, some people are encouraged to grow in that. After 7 days, you just can't produce it. Your mind becomes like oatmeal. You ever have that happen? You get so tired you can't think anymore? Because you're tired. It happens. Amen? Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm not against apologetics, okay? I think there are folks that have been called and equipped. I've said this. Most of the world don't know and must be told, and someone's got to tell them. But if you're not called to be an apologist, I do know you're called to celebrate the Creator. Amen? Too many times we're caught up in the business and the craziness of life, and we miss the beauty of God's creation. We don't take time to enjoy it. I want to really bless you in something here today. You can tell by listening to us, things are beginning to mount up. There's a certain excitement beginning to grow. Now, if you're anything like me, this is not my first county fair. I've been through this barbecue before. I know what happens when God begins to move. God begins to say, you got to work.
And the whole church went, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, well, you know what? When God begins to move the way God's moving now, it's going to cost us something. So let me give you some good advice. Get rested up now. I always encourage people with special needs children. I encourage them, okay? When more and more you're going to hear me talk about this stuff. I tell parents of special needs children to take a vacation. Oh, but I can't. I say, you have to. If you fall down on the job, if you aren't able to go on, who takes care of the children? And people don't think about that. So here's the deal. If you don't enjoy, if you don't take a Sabbath, if you don't take a day to relax, and believe me, I know, I work a lot of hours too, and it's sometimes Sunday's the only day to catch up. I think catch up should be catch up a day, catch up a sleep, catch up on relaxation, go on a family picnic, go for a ride, go over and look at Lake Wallenpaupack. Enjoy yourself. Go have some fun, because Monday morning that work's going to hit you head on again. We got to relax. God created everything we see around us for that purpose. We can be so busy trying to explain God, we don't take time to enjoy Him and all He's done. 30 years in the ministry, and my greatest thing I feel sorry about, my greatest regret, is not taking enough time to enjoy all that God's given me. I've been too busy working for Him to enjoy Him. Hello, church. Don't make that mistake. You'll be like me. You'll wake up, and your kids are parents now, and they're all grown up, and we won't go there. Hallelujah. God has done all this, and He did it for us. You know, I want to give you a challenge. I am closing, and I only have one closing today, Brother Dave. This week, I want you to think about, I want you to recall some of the good moments. You know, we have a tendency, all of us, to think about the bad stuff. I read an article one time, I don't know if this is true, that when something traumatic happens, the body secretes a certain enzyme, and it actually almost like tattoos it to your memory. Now, I don't know if all that's true. I'm not smart enough to know if that's true or not, but one thing I'm smart enough to know, bad things stick with you. And the tendency is to think about them. But the more we think about them, the more we give life to them again. We resurrect them. And if you're anything like me, when I remember with emotion. Some people don't. I do. But we relive it over and over again. And if we don't train ourselves to think on things that are good and pure and lovely and holy, I read that someplace. Y'all can look it up this week. If we don't take our time to train our thinking on the positive, look at the beauty God has created. Hallelujah. I want you to think of this sermon this January when you're digging out from 3 feet of snow, that God has every one of them snowflakes individual and distinct one from another. We tend to forget that when we're up to our belt in fresh created snow. Hallelujah. I want parents, while you're thinking about the good stuff, while you're thinking about the stuff God's for, I want parents to try to look at the world through a young child's eye. I mean, a child that has not yet had the world distorted, okay? They haven't been spoiled or tainted by a fallen world. Look at through the simplicity of a child. Did you ever see a child when they go to see something that their eyes just, whoa? When's the last time we looked at God's creation and went, whoa? We need to do that again. We need to see all that God's doing. I know we got problems. I'm not trying to minimize the Middle East. I'm not trying to minimize war and all that's going on in politics. But you know what? The bottom line is God raises up the kings and He puts down the kings. So whoever He wants in office is going to be there in January anyway. I'm not going to obsess over it. I'm going to pray and say, okay, I know what I'm going to do. Well, I think I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote, and if you don't vote, don't complain later. Anybody out there? Okay. Hallelujah. I think what we need to see, and this is what I'm going to suggest today as we close, we need a life that's a little simpler, a little less complicated, like when we were young. I during the week, my other job, I work with children. Some of them have got terrible backgrounds. But I really like, when I go in the schools, I like to at least walk by and stop in once in a while at the kindergarten. Some schools have a pre-K. Because I look at these kids, and for the most part, they're still innocent. That's the life I want. I want to be able to look at this world, and instead of worried about global warming, I want to enjoy the weather I got. Now, I'm not saying the global warming's not. I'm not saying anything against. I'm saying we need to enjoy the world before we lost our vision, before we lost the simplicity and got tainted and spoiled by this fallen world. I want to pray today that God will enable us to look at all the things he's made, all the things around us, and thank him for making it for us. Hallelujah. God's creation is inspiring, just as his gift of his son is life-saving. God gave life in the beginning. God secured it through Jesus Christ. Amen. While we're thanking God for his creation, let's take also some time to thank him for his son. You know, without Jesus, we could have all this beauty, it would mean nothing. There are some things in nature that are just amazing, you know. Whatever you look at, I mean, Andy, I know you're an animal person. I know some of the animals you like, you're just amazed. You're awestruck by them. There are certain things I see in nature, I'm just like, whoa, that is just so. Anybody ever stand at the, well, not stand, I was standing on the ship at the falls, the bottom of Niagara Falls. If you want to see something awesome and experience, all your senses are taken in at once. And I stood there, I was totally awestruck. Billions of gallons of water at a minute flying down. The boat we were on shaking, I remember having a single thought. Compared to God, this is nothing. God is so awesome. All that he's done, all that he is. Hallelujah. I want you to take time this week. I want you to take time to appreciate God's creativity. I want you to take time to create to enjoy his sense of creativity and design. Hallelujah. We'll catch up in a minute. But I want you to understand something here, and I say this very strongly at the end. The earth is not my mother, but its creator is my father. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I'm not anti-tree hugger. I'm not going to go into all that. If you feel you need to save the environment, go right ahead. But I'm going to say this. I refuse to worship God's creation. My worship is set aside for the Father. I want you to enjoy the creation, but I want you to worship the Creator. Remember that when God was finished with creation, he said it was very good. When God is finished with the reason for his creation, that's you. You will be just as you should be. So enjoy the journey. Enjoy from where you are to where God's taking you. Enjoy it. Take time, like they used to say, to smell the roses. Enjoy the mountains. We're about to enter into a time in the next couple of weeks where we're going to have the most beautiful color show we've ever seen. The Northeast are going to be all kinds of yellows and reds and oranges. People will travel from around the world to come ride this local train that runs by next to our church just to see the pretty leaves. We have them every day. Enjoy them. Enjoy the waters. Enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy all that God has made. God knows what he's doing. His plan will be fulfilled. You will become just what God wants you to do. And God will look at your life and the finished product and say, it is very good. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this week we could all lighten up a little bit. We could walk around, enjoy the sunshine. We can enjoy the trees. Father, I pray that we could throw negativity aside this week and just enjoy all that you've made for us. And while we're doing it, thank you for all of your work. Thank you for the creation. Thank you for the seas. Thank you for the stars. Thank you for the trees. Thank you for the animals. Thank you for preparing a world to receive me, support me, and make me comfortable and give me something to enjoy. God, that makes me think I must be pretty special in your eyes. I guess I feel that way because I am. I'm a child of God. If you're sitting here under the sound of my voice, you lay hold of Jesus as your Savior, you're that special person too. And when you're enjoying that, begin to allow God to prepare you, because there's a whole bunch of other people in this town who don't know what I just told you. And they're literally dying to hear that truth. God has prepared this world, put us in it, makes us comfortable, gives us joy, and then asks us to go share that joy with someone else. Father, I praise you for all this. I thank you. You have a plan. I thank you. You've made me part of that plan. And I thank you if I keep looking toward you, the plan will be fulfilled. Father, as we leave this place, I ask you to bring blessings upon your people. Father, I prophesy health, wealth, prosperity. I prophesy all that we need, we would receive at your hands. May we be thankful. May we be grateful. And may we tell others. In Jesus' name, let's stand. Sorry about keeping you a little long. I had a preach going on there, and I couldn't stop. Hallelujah. Couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. Didn't make our 30 minutes. I'm trying to get down to 30 minutes for the internet, but it ain't happening. And how much was it? 51. Ain't bad. Ain't bad. Cut it in half, and I got it right. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Spend some time talking to James. Pray for him. Pray for his mission in this world. And tell someone about Jesus.